Our next guest wrote to Governor Ned Lamont to raise multiple questions about what the state is doing to prepare for any potential resurgence of COVID-19 in Connecticut. Long-term care facilities emphasized the findings of mathematicians' initial report on the state's nursing home response and testimony shared at a General Assembly listening session last week that raised questions about the state's preparedness to address any future second wave of COVID-19, specifically in the nursing home settings. He questioned the Lamont administration's preparation in six major areas. Number one, planning for a potential resurgence in nursing homes. Number two, providing access to personal protective equipment, PPEs. Number three, improving and maintaining testing. Number four, visitation policies. Number five, nursing home funding. And number six, community-based services. When I was the ranking member on aging, this was my right-hand man. I tell you, he was really the man. This is also an elder attorney. This is the person you go to, all right? He is an incredible advocate for our aging population. And I'm proud to welcome back to the show our state senator, Kevin Kelly. Kev, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Gary. It's great to be here again.
It's always a pleasure when we have you on, and we appreciate the work that you do for those who really have a hard time fending and fighting for themselves. So you provide an invaluable service.
Well, thank you very much.
So go ahead.
You know, the thing that's, Gary, that's most striking here is that 74% of all COVID-related deaths occurred in nursing homes. And while, you know, many people give the governor good marks on handling COVID, this is one area that he didn't do well at all. And in fact, it's the third worst in the United States.
Wow. I don't think people realize that.
No, they don't.
So,
they don't, because if they did, they would be as upset as I am that we have no plan in place. It's one thing, nobody could see COVID coming. Nobody understood what the ramifications were. But now that we know, the question is, what are we doing to protect these vulnerable individuals?
Well, that is the golden question.
Nothing.
Yeah, that is the golden question. Yeah, I was talking to a senior citizen this past weekend and just casually about, you know, the coronavirus. And she says, geez, you know, is there light at the end of the tunnel? And I said, well, you know, hear different things about vaccinations. And we just had Dr. Virginia Bielak on not that long ago. And, you know, hearing national thing, you know, there could be a vaccination by, you know, as soon as November. Fauci himself said by the end of this year. Of course, it's going to take 3 or 4 months for that to even hit the, you know, the mass market. Though I hear the when it does, the price will be around $5 or so. So there's good news coming. I guess there's half a dozen, there's 5 or 6 pharmaceutical companies that are all in the same phase. I think there's 4 phases, and they're in the latter part of phase 3. And I hear phase 4 is actually easier than phase 3, but that's a whole other topic. But my point is that she was talking about, oh, Lamont, he's handling this so well. And mind you, this is a senior citizen. He's handling this so well. I mean, we're a leading state as far as not contracting the virus compared to some of these other states. And yeah, we're inconvenienced, but you know what? If it's going to curb, you know, the numbers, you know, then all the better. And I tried to, I didn't want to get political. That's not the purpose of me spending time with her. But I was trying to set her straight with, well, yeah, but it's funny. It's ironic, I said, because it's people in your age demographic from which he's really not serving all that well.
Exactly. It's not just that demographic. It's also the people that serve them, for instance, labor in skilled nursing homes. They're also going without PPE, and there's no plan in place for them either. And so, you know, the governor in this area has just really not done well. And what is more disconcerting is it's not just limited to the governor's office, but you know how the legislature works. You were a member of the aging committee. You know that committee's focus is to listen to and advocate for the seniors' voice. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a work group that the majority of Democrats put in place that consists of the appropriations which is the budget,
mm-hmm.
Human services, which deals with DSS, state program, and public health, which regulates medical providers. Aging was specifically cut out. I have asked numerous times, both my chairman and as well as appealing directly to the chairs of those three committees, and we have not been invited to participate. This work group on Friday, I read the CT Mirror, now says that they're not going to make any proposals or do anything till next January.
Why?
And that is just unacceptable.
It is
coming
unacceptable.
Off the experience and mindful that 74% of deaths happened in nursing homes. That is just, you know, once again, we don't have the seniors' voice at the table.
Well, okay, let's start there. I mean, I'm sure you worked with, you're working with Representative Joe Serra from Middletown, right? Is he still the chair? He was when I was the ranking member there.
He is still the chair.
Okay.
Joe is a fabulous representative.
He really is.
And a great advocate for seniors. And I know he's been up in the legislature for a long time, and he sees eye to eye on the issues as I do.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he's only one of many in the legislature. And we have to break through to the chairman on appropriations, human services, and public health. And they didn't have an appetite to include aging.
So you spoke with, and I was also a member while I was ranking member on aging,
right.
On that committee with you. I was also on human services for a couple of terms. Kathy Abercrombie, if I remember correctly, she was the chair. Is she still the chair this year?
She is.
And she did not want to bring the aging committee, which normally has cognizance over aging issues. She did not think that the aging committee should have a seat at the table regarding this. That's kind of surprising.
Well, Gary, it is surprising, but I have not received an invite to participate. And I believe it has a lot to do with, you see the questions I'm asking. I want answers because I believe that seniors in Connecticut are owed a response, they're owed a plan, and they're entitled to dignity, whether they live in the community or in a residential or skilled facility.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
And it just, that appears to be ringing hollow under the Golden Dome.
How nervous are these healthcare providers? How nervous are they going into the cooler months once again? And if you recall spring, early spring, into the spring, there was not enough PPEs enough to go around for everybody on a daily basis. And in the summer, through Bob Stefanowski's efforts and a few others that have joined him in getting masks out, a lot of this has come to remedy. But we are also dealing with warmer temperatures, which I guess to some small degree was helpful. But now we're going into a season where we don't even have that going for us anymore. How nervous are they as the season changes?
Well, obviously, everybody that's involved in the skilled area are concerned, whether it's the administrators, it's the staff that show up on a daily basis to do their on-estate, or whether it's the residents that are living there. They're all concerned because they don't know what the winter is going to bring. All health experts are pointing to a second wave, a resurgence, once we get more into the colder months and flu season. So the question becomes, Gary, what are we doing? And we've had now 6 months since this came in, and we know we live in New England.
Mm-hmm.
We know the weather's going to change as you know, still last day of summer here, Gary, but it's 45 degrees. It was a wake-up call. You'd think that bell would be ringing in the governor's mansion, that we're going to be into this, and we need a plan if we're going to protect the people in nursing homes. And unfortunately, to date, we do not have that plan. And what's even more disconcerting is that the federal government, because one of the things the Mathematica plan pointed to was that this virus was able to exist and spread so widespread in nursing homes because of the Medicaid funding. For the past decade, other than for, I'm going to say salaries, there's only been a 1% increase in the Medicaid reimbursement rate. And that was a decade of dominance by Democrats at the legislature controlling the budgetary process. And they've left these seniors out in the cold. And the question is, what's the plan? Now, we got $1.4 billion from Washington under the CARES Act. You would think that if 74% of deaths happened in nursing homes, they would get the lion's share. Right now, there is only about 10%, not even 10%, has been allocated directly to nursing homes. You can say that there's some indirect through PPE and testing, but that's widespread for the state. So when you look at it, they're not even putting the resources where we know the problem is to protect the people most vulnerable. They're your seniors and individuals with comorbidities. You know, these are the same individuals that we hear Democrats talk all the time about protecting pre-existing conditions, making sure health care is a right. And yet when it comes to this, all of a sudden it's not so important. And this is the one thing that gets me, is that every time we talk about seniors in the Capitol, I keep being told, you can pick the initiative, whether it's a personal needs allowance, increasing the community spouse protected amount, making sure we open up Category 1 so that we can have a robust and meaningful home care industry. The majority party says, well, we can't do that now. We'll have to wait. Well, seniors don't have time on their side. Time is not with them. And it just, I'm very disappointed that the majority party doesn't care more for our seniors than they deserve.
Speaking with State Senator Kevin Kelly this morning, and not only an elder attorney, but I served with him in the aging committee where he still is a member. You know, I'm sure like you, you know, I've spoken with a lot of individuals who have parents in some of these facilities and cannot interact. They cannot see them other than it being outside. And or through a window or something like that. Well, you know, outside is one thing for now. Look, we have cool nights and cool mornings, but we do have some, you know, as long as the sun is out, we have some warm afternoons. And that's a good thing for people who want to visit their parents or their loved ones in these facilities. But as like I was mentioning a moment ago, it's inevitable. The weather will be changing. And I mean to the point where even during the day, it'll get cold. This I'm talking about late November and into early December. And then for the next several months thereafter. What do you say to somebody who's got a parent or a loved one in one of these skilled nursing facilities who will not be able to have a one-on-one interaction with their loved one?
Yeah, the problem here is that, once again, this isn't important to the governor. He just increased and thought it was a great thing, the visits, the outdoor visits, that you can now go from 20 minutes to 30 minutes once a week with your loved one. And part of this problem is that the governor doesn't look to Connecticut's own resources and its people. He's relying here, in this instance, on nursing homes with this group Mathematica out of Princeton, New Jersey, when right here in Connecticut we have a professor at Quinnipiac that has identified social isolation as a substantial and significant problem for health outcomes in seniors. And what we should be doing is looking at how social isolation is so bad and making sure that we put these individuals with their loved ones, who quite frankly, if you have diminished capacity, become your eyes and ears. That's how you know whether or not your parents being taken care of. And then to figure out a way to make sure that these people can be admitted and to be with their loved ones. There's a way to figure this out. You can do it with the PPE, social distancing, testing, making sure that the facilities are properly cleaned, and that the infection rates are under control. But the administration isn't even looking at that, and we haven't formulated a policy. And here we are, the first day of fall is tomorrow. And what's the plan, Governor? These people are entitled to dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Their family members are entitled to free association with their loved ones.
Right.
Why are we not trying to facilitate that to make sure that they not only have those relationships, but those relationships improve health outcomes? Why isn't that a priority?
That's a great point. Wow. You know, that senior I was talking to over the weekend, actually a very happy-go-lucky gentleman. I mean, really, he's in his mid-70s, 77 years old. Really a happy-go-lucky guy, positive. And really, for the first time, I don't know about ever. Well, first time I've ever seen this person, rather depressed. You're right. There is a mental health component to this, where all of this isolation and mask wearing and it's just not used to our way of life. And even though, you know, we all hear that it's temporary, you know, that's fine and dandy, but you still got to get through the day, you know. We're running out of time. I just want to know what you're hearing as far as having enough PPE going into the fall in comparison to lack thereof back in the spring for our skilled nursing home employees.
Well, the last I heard, the government was trying to get more of it. One of the big concerns that I'm hearing is that the quality is not there, that it lacks quality, which then, you know, it doesn't protect the individuals, nor knock down the virus as well as it can, as it could. So that's why I put a whole section on PPE. I wanted to look at not only what our purchasing policies were, but also to make sure that we're buying the best quality and making sure that there's enough to go around, because I am hearing concern about that, and that if there is a run on PPE, have we stockpiled it, or is it in some other state because the governor decided to go into a consortium and that they're going to keep it? And Connecticut gets left out in the cold. So a lot of questions.
Yeah.
I think they're legitimate questions.
They are.